Welcome to the dsmith.org podcast for Tuesday, August 22nd, 2006, the IEEE EMC Symposium in Portland, Oregon. I'm Doug Smith. Last week I attended the IEEE EMC Symposium in Portland, Oregon, and while I was there I brought a little recorder and I walked around interviewing people to see why they were there, what they were doing, what kind of products were available. And so what follows is several interviews with both exhibitors, what their once in a while a product caught my eye or a player that's really important in the field. Not that I could get all of them. There were lots of important players in the field that I couldn't get for time constraints, but tried to get a number of them. In addition, I interviewed several people that were just walking around there at the symposium to see what brings them there, why they're coming, what the latest is, and so forth. So hope you enjoy it, and a little bit longer than my normal podcast. It's about a half an hour. So here goes.
Okay, we're here at the IEEE EMC Symposium, and I'm in the exhibits area. And we're standing in front of the Credence Technologies booth, and I have Vladimir Kratz here from Credence, who's actually near Santa Cruz, near my location. And so, Vladimir, what's your general impression of the show so far this year?
This show is a little bit bigger than I expect. It's quite populated, and I'm happy that the industry is growing.
That's good. And what kind of products do you have on display here?
We have a variety of products, starting from diagnostics and troubleshooting and pre-compliance and going through full compliance products for radiated and conducted emission and immunity.
Okay. I know your website and all the stuff I see on the table here is a little like an engineer's toy store. There's all kinds of neat little gadgets here. And you make a little something called EM Aware for ESD logging. And it's quite a useful gadget. So I had a little break there. A customer came up, and of course, customers always come first at this. So finishing up here, I know that the EM Aware is something that is one of my favorite products. And one thing about the Credence booth specifically is I come up and I eat their experiment. They've got a bowl of chocolate kisses out here, and when you shake it, it's aluminum-covered chocolate kisses, and it makes EMI noise, and they can pick it up on their EM Aware. But I come up and I eat their experiment, and then it doesn't work anymore, and they have to pour more into the bowl.
You need to have at least three left.
Actually, I just finished my chocolate scan. The way I approach a technical show like this is I do a quick chocolate scan. Where's the chocolate? Which booths have chocolate? Eat their chocolate, and then I go back and talk technical things. So I finished the chocolate scan, and I'm back for the technical things now. And I see you have a computer here with a screen on it, and I believe that's hooked to your EM Aware?
Yes, it is.
And it's logging the intensity versus time of EMI events?
Technically, ESD events.
ESD events.
EMI is a rather broad range. Could come from cell phones or stepper motors.
Okay.
So this particular one captures ESD events. It measures its magnitude, and also it measures and displays magnitude of static voltage. For example, here, is simply tap your foot and you can see what is happening. Go.
Okay.
Try it yourself.
Too bad we don't have video here. That's the great thing about the toys around here, you know. Oh boy, my foot's really bad. I'm off the scale. Guess I wouldn't want to wear these shoes around an assembly area.
No, you wouldn't.
Oh, they work great for seminars, though, because it generates lots of static charge and I can do my experiments. But anyway, this is a great booth. Lots of little stuff. They've got little EMI scanners, H and E field, and for finding noisy spots on circuit boards. And your website is?
www.credencetech.com.
That's CREDENCETECH.com.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Doug.
I'm over here at the Elia Labs booth, and I'm here with Eddie Pavlou, who we've done some podcasts before on. And I just want to get your impressions of the show. Is there more people or less people than, say, last year or the year before? How's it coming?
I think over the past few years we've had about the same level of attendance. It's been pretty good. The show floor has been going well today. We've been seeing quite a bit of foot traffic. It kind of comes and goes in different spurts. You know, people usually come out after a paper's been done and during the break, so usually it's either kind of slow or extremely busy.
Okay. And I noticed you're next to the UL booth here, and they were telling me at the UL booth, that I didn't realize that, they shut down their EMI test lab in Santa Clara, and so within the Bay Area, that you, Elliot now has taken over testing, EMI testing for UL. You work together with UL, is that correct?
That's right. That happened around the September-October timeframe of last year. They moved their location from Santa Clara to San Jose. They did not move their EMC facilities, and we basically partnered with them them, and they used us as their exclusive EMC provider in the Bay Area.
Okay, great. So I know the booths are right next to each other here, so you're sort of, is that on purpose, was that arranged, or was that accident?
Yeah, we coordinated that, and actually Elliot benefited from that quite a bit. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but the IEEE uses a point system for establishing where booths are located, because there are certain places that get more foot traffic than others, and UL has been doing booths for much longer than Elliot has, and we're basically able to piggyback on top of their strong point system.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you, Eddie.
Sure. Thanks, Doug.
I'm at the X2Y booth, and hopefully this thing is recording. I'll find out when I get back to the room. And we have Steve Weir, and he works with X2Y. And Steve, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Doug, I do applications development and technical papers for X2Y Corporation. And typically what we're doing is showing people how to use these things effectively and how they compare to regular capacitors in various applications. So one of our big focuses is decoupling applications. So, for example, we're in development showing that you can get away with just a couple of X2Y capacitors, about four of them, to do a typical DDR2 memory. And that's versus a whole lot more using regular capacitors. And it all comes down to the inductance.
Okay. Okay, normally when I think X2I, I immediately think of EMI filters. And you do more than that.
Right. Well, the X2Y actually kind of makes sense with that, because the construction of the capacitors, you have two capacitors inside one lid, and they're very closely matched. So if you think about the classic X plus two Y capacitors, each Y capacitor going line to ground, the close matching of the capacitors means that you don't get mode conversion at the cutoff frequency of the capacitors.
Okay.
And as a consequence, you can, for the same signal band, start your cutoff frequency for a noise rejection much lower frequency and therefore have much higher noise rejection, or you can extend the useful frequency band out to the much higher frequency, because you can take it out basically to the cutoff for the noise rejection.
Very interesting.
And that works great in automotive airbag igniters. It's about the only thing they can use effectively to protect from accidental ignition caused by external RFI. It works great with low-level analog inputs and whatnot. We have application notes with analog devices, for example.
So what's your website address, Steve, where people can get more information?
Oh, that's real easy. It's www.x2y.com.
I think I can even remember that.
Yeah, that's pretty easy.
One final question. How's the foot traffic been here at the show?
It's been pretty good.
Okay.
I think everybody's looking forward to Hawaii. I think that's the...
Well, actually, my thought is that when we get to Hawaii for next year's show, is you'll see a fundamental difference in the foot traffic. Instead of the engineers, it'll be the managers who come to see what we've been doing all these years.
Well, the engineers are all going to be on the beach, unfortunately.
Yeah, there won't be any foot traffic. We'll all be on the beach. You better set up your booth down on the beach.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, thank you. So I'm here at the DLS Electronic Systems booth, and I'm talking to Don Sweeney, who's really been around the EMC world for how many years, Don?
Almost 40.
You've been around a long time. One of the regulars here. So tell me a little bit about DLS Electronic Systems. What do you do?
Well, we do both EMC and safety. In the EMC area, we do civilian EMC, which would be anything from FCC to the European Community, and of course we're into the military and the commercial aircraft, which is the RTCA 160.
And you're located?
Wheeling, Illinois, which is about 20 minutes from O'Hare when the driving is good.
Is the driving ever good in Chicago? I guess.
Oh, yeah. You can make it in 20 minutes after the 8 o'clock rush hour.
It's a good central location. You're never more than a few hours from pretty much anywhere.
Right, yeah. At one time before airport security, we were about 4 hours from about 80% of the population of the country.
Mm-hmm. And so how's the show been for you here?
Well, so far, it's been interesting. I've had a chance to go through the booths here. And
how's foot traffic been compared to previous years?
I'm going to have to ask Bill on that one, because I haven't been at the booth.
It's been at least what we had last couple of years.
Okay, that's good. So it's been holding up. That's
good.
Good
this morning, yes.
Okay. And one last thing. What's your website address?
DLSEMC.com.
DLS being Don L's, must be your middle initial.
Right, Sweeney, right.
Okay. And it was DLS?
EMC.com.
Thank you, Don.
All right.
So I'm here at the IEEE Product Safety Engineering Society, and we have Richard Dejorian. And standing here, he's full of ribbons here. Exhibitor, technical, committee chair, session chair, volunteer, sort of like a peacock here, all these different color ribbons. But tell us a little about the PSES.
The PSES is the Product Safety Engineering Society. We are approximately 3 years old. We started out from the Technical Committee 8 of the EMC Society. A few years ago, we all decided that the product safety engineers needed a home of their own. So we developed and started the Engineering Society. It encompasses not only information technology equipment, but it could be medical, telecom. We're slowly branching out into automotive, anything that deals with safety testing in addition to any type of EMC testing.
Okay. So how's foot traffic been? Is this your first booth year here? Or
no, this is our third year, and this is our third booth year.
Okay.
Last year, we were in the other EMC conference, which was held in Chicago. We had a booth there. And our first one was in Santa Clara.
Okay. So compared to those years, how's foot traffic been here?
It's been steadily increasing, so we're seeing more foot traffic. People are now realizing that there is a Product Safety Engineering Society. Obviously, being 3 years old, it's kind of hard to figure out who is new. We're one of the newer societies in the IEEE. Mm-hmm. We do have about 555 memberships already. Okay. So we're getting there.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
So I'm here at the Fisher Custom Communications booth, and one of my favorite booths at this show. And I have Joe Fisher here, who is sort of the head of the whole Fisher family. And gosh, how long have you been in business, Joe?
35 years.
Wow. And I've known you since around 88, 90, or roughly in that general time frame. For the people who aren't familiar with Fisher, what kind of products do you make?
We make all the instrumentation to measure electromagnetic interference. That's LISNs, current probes, injection probes, all types of monitoring devices. We also build lightning and EMP overvoltage protectors. So that's our core work, plus transient pulsers.
Okay.
So that's what we concentrate on.
Okay, I remember the F-33-1 is a very good current probe, very popular with the EMC crowd here, and use it in a lot of my demonstrations in the seminars that I do. What's your website address for people who might be interested?
It's Fisher, F-I-S-C-H-E-R-C-C, www.com.
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, so I'm here with Doug Gerke and Bill Kimmel of Kimmel Gerke Associates. And you guys have really been around the EMC world for a long, how many years?
Oh, let's see. For me, it goes back to about 1970. And I'm the junior partner in our business.
Okay. Back when dinosaurs roamed the earth.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So
1964, I think.
Wow. In 64, I was still in college. For people who may not know about you, what do you guys do? What's the nature of your business?
Well, we're EMC consulting engineers, and we specialize in dealing with EMI, ESD, and related issues. Mm-hmm. The five big problems are dealing with the regulatory issues, and then we deal with radio frequency interference, ESD, power disturbances, and self-compatibility issues. And basically, most of our work is design-related, both at the board and also at the systems level.
Okay. And you also have a newsletter.
Yes, we have a newsletter. The KGB, Kimmel Gerke Bullets. It was too good to pass up. We had to do it.
Okay, what's your website address?
Oh, it's emiguru.com.
www.emiguru.com. No dashes or hyphens or anything.
No dashes or hyphens. And if you dial 1-888-EMI-GURU, you'll get a voicemail box where you can leave us a message.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Doug.
We've interviewed a lot of people at Boost, but I thought maybe we would try a real, honest-to-goodness person who actually came here. So we have Randy Flinders from the Emulex, who works at Emulex, and active in the Orange County Society. How many years have you been coming here?
Oh, it's been about 10 years I've been coming to the symposium.
Are you coming to Hawaii next year?
I'm hoping to. I'm planning to. And unless something happens, I'll be there.
Okay. I figure that the makeup of next year's symposium will be all the managers will come next year instead of the engineers to see what we've been doing.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's probably a good bet.
But so what are you looking for specifically in the symposium? Any particular reason or just generally see what's happening?
Well, I think the biggest draw for me for the symposium is networking, getting the chance to have some face-to-face contact with suppliers, with customers, with some of the regulatory agencies, you know, although that seems to be a little thin this year. You know, and I think that's the first one. The second one, of course, is update my technical knowledge and update my knowledge on, you know, upcoming standards and requirements that are changing.
Okay. I always thought the networking part was actually more important than the papers, because I can read the papers afterwards and call the author, but the people are only here for a few days. And
Exactly, and that face time is really important. It really helps you out later on when you have a problem and you need some support from your contacts. Having that face time at the symposium really makes a big difference.
So, well, thank you, Randy. And Orange County is a great place to come. People should come to the EMC Society meetings down there.
Definitely. We invite everyone to come join us at our meetings. We have a great time. We have some great speakers.
Okay, thank you. So we're sitting here in a rest area with some tables and chairs, and I'm here with Bill Bush, who I've known for many years, even back when I was at Bell Labs. I think we were on some committees together. I forget which exactly ones those were, probably TIA.
T1.
And Bill has been into telecommunications, so tell me just a little bit of your background in a minute or so.
Okay. Started out with a smaller telephone company in Indiana. Got bought out by Verizon, worked there nearly 20 years, went to Nortel and worked with them heavily on grounding, bonding, and power distribution and protection. And left there, started my own company, and worked for 12 years with Telecomputer Reliability Services, doing consulting services for telecommunications and commercial industries. Last 2 years with Signals Power and Grounding Specialist in Ohio, and now starting shortly with Panduit Corporation. That'll probably be my last job, it looks like, before I retire.
And you're working currently on a standard for some power quality, power grounding issues.
I've worked heavily the last 2.5 years with IEEE Standard 1100. Which is power and grounding electronic equipment, and works primarily on Chapter 9 on telecommunications, information technology, and distributed computing.
What are you looking for at the show? What brought you here?
What brought me here was primarily the generalist approach for EMC, and no matter what you do with grounding, it falls under EMC somewhere. And if you get out there on the grounding and power by yourself and don't account for EMC, you will eventually have to bring it to bear. So you can't leave it as a discipline that someone else does. You have to bring it back into the hardcore areas of power and grounding and account for it. So that's why I'm here. Instrumentation, contacts, new ideas, old ideas re-explained, controversial subjects that still don't make sense to me.
There are a lot of controversial subjects here.
Very much so. Yeah, I just attended two of those this morning.
Okay, well, thank you, Bill.
Oh, thank you, Doug.
So I'm here at the RF Exposure Lab booth and talking to Jay Moulton, and they have a very interesting service they do, which is most test labs don't, so let me let him describe it. Jay, what is it you do?
Well, what we do is we do SAR testing for the FCC limits for wireless devices that are within 20 centimeters of the body, and the FCC requires you to measure the amount of RF energy that's absorbed into the body and be below a set limit, and we have a system set up to actually do the testing and support labs or companies to meet their requirements.
Okay, that sounds interesting. I know that I've seen pictures of that test, but most test labs don't do it. So,
correct. Many of the labs, there's only about maybe 7 or 8 labs here in North America that actually has the SAR system on on site, so they do their own testing outside of that. The rest of the labs all have to go out of house to get their testing done.
Is this your first year at this show as an exhibitor?
This is my first year as an exhibitor. We've been in business now. This is our third year in business, and we're located in Southern California in North San Diego County. But this is our first year at the show.
And what's your website address?
Our website address is www.rfexposurelab.com.
Oh, that's pretty easy. That's your company name.
Yes.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
So I'm here in the thermoelectron booth and talking with Randy Wirtz. Their products were formerly known as Keytec, and I think you still use that brand name, don't you?
Yeah, we actually use that brand name when we're talking about the product lines themselves. It's Thermoelectron Corporation, manufacturer of Keytec products.
Okay. Randy, how long have you been with Thermo?
I've been with Thermo about 3 years. Prior to that, I was working about 9 years in the test lab arena.
Okay. And how did Keytec through a way became Thermo, and that was a number of years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, actually in 1992, Thermo Electron purchased Keytec, and since then we've gone through a number of different name changes to finally formalize at Thermo Electron.
Okay. And what's the nature of your part of the business here? I know because I can see and I know you guys, but the people listening may not.
Yep. Actually, the focus of my business is Pulsed EMI, which is a portion of the EMC business. We deal with the IEC specifications for IEC 61000-4-X, which is ESD, EFT, Surge, PQF. Also, another large portion of our business is UL Surge testing and the telecom arena.
Okay. And where do you what's the latest in that field? What's happening now?
The stuff that's really picking up right now, they just came out with issue 4 for the GR-1089. So okay. They made some minor modifications to it. One of the major things they made is they call it a 10x250 waveform. Okay. That's currently for the DSL stuff, for the coaxial cable outside of the building.
Okay.
And that's a new modification that they made. And you know, we're seeing business pick up obviously a lot over in the Asian market.
Okay. And finally, what do you think of the show here?
Show's good. You know, we're looking forward to Hawaii, personally, with me and my family, and then professionally on the basis.
There'll be a lot more families in Hawaii than
there are. Yeah, I actually agree on that one. It's going to be, we're going to do a week vacation and a week with the week for business.
But, your plane reservation early.
Yeah, I think I'm doing that when I get back. I already told my wife.
Yeah, I'm going to do that too,
yeah. But no, it's a good show. I mean, this location's good. It's a little bit different than, you know, the prior years, like Chicago. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a little more foot traffic in Chicago, and there's a little more foot traffic out in Santa Clara.
Because of the local industry.
Yeah, I mean, Portland's a little smaller town.
Yes.
So, I mean, it's a little bit different, but it's a good show. It's a good show.
Okay, well, thank you, Randy.
All right, thanks.
Oh, before we go, your website address.
At www.thermo/.esd.
Okay. .com. Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks.
So I'm sitting here with George Kunkel, who is really probably one of the pioneers in this industry. I mean, you've been around here a long time.
Over 40 years.
Yes. And so, first, George, in a few minutes, a little bit about your background. How did you get into EMC?
Well, I got into EMC because I went to work for Sprague Electric Company.
What year was that?
And that was in 1962.
Wow.
And it was a field engineer, which was, you know, consulting to industry, and at the time I didn't know what a diode was or a FET or a transistor, but it didn't take me long to find out, and from there I went to several other companies, electronic specialty company, JPL, a product manager at a company called Scanby, and then I went into consulting for myself.
Okay, and you have your own company now.
Yes.
Spira. And their products are?
It's shielding products, and it's the EMI gasket and related products.
Okay, and you have a booth here at the show.
Yeah, we do.
So, I haven't been around the show nearly as long as you have, but I remember you right from almost the first year I was here. George is very well known in the field, and
I was chairman of the technical committee on interference control, which is gathering and disseminating information on grounding, bonding, shielding, and filtering for a 17-year period.
Wow. Okay.
And we gave the reason you know me, and most people know me, is that we gave workshop sessions or paper sessions at every symposium, and I always chaired those sessions.
Okay.
So I always made myself known.
Okay. What's your company's website, George?
It's Spira, SPIRA-EMI.com.
Okay, well, thank you very much. I'm sitting here with Peter Feil of LeaderTech, and we got talking here, and I've known Peter from a while ago, so let me ask you, Peter, a little bit about your history and how you got to this point, what you've been involved with.
I've been in the industry for over 20 years. I've worked for a number of shielding manufacturers, primarily addressing enclosure and perimeter shielding. I recently joined LeaderTech to expand the focus of my history and my knowledge. And besides the involvement in gaskets and perimeter shielding, LeaderTech is a leading manufacturer of circuit board shields. We have, are probably one of the only companies that have a line of standard approaches to circuit board shields that allow for very short lead times, no NREs, no tooling costs, as long as the design parameters can be within the specified limits of the material itself.
This would be like, I've seen some products like cell phones, they have little shields in there to keep compartments from leaking into another one, say like a logic circuit from leaking noise into a receiver, that kind of a thing.
Absolutely. Addresses issues of that crosstalk within the board itself, so it's not necessarily always a matter of EMI for susceptibility and emissions. It also allows the board in itself to work from a logistic standpoint.
Okay.
So that's correct. We don't always address things as small as a cell phone, but that is the right area that you're talking about.
So what brings you to the EMC symposium?
Well, I've attended the symposium since its inception and always been part of it, either as a exhibitor, this time I'm going around as a viewer and trying to gather information and reacquaint myself with people and old contacts like yourself.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Peter. Oh, what's the web address?
It's www.LeaderTechInc.com.
LeaderTechInc.com. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Doug.
I'm here at the TDK booth, and I'm talking with Jim Ott. Apparently no relation to Henry, right?
No relation.
But Jim Ott of TDK, and he has a very interesting product that he just described to me, and I thought I might be some other people interested in this too. First, for those who may not know, because there'll be a lot of general people listening to this, the kind of things that TDK makes.
TDK manufactures everything from ferrite components to antennas, test equipment, test chambers, software, and one of our products is a RF absorber material. Quite advanced material in terms of durability and performance and safety.
Okay, and the product that I'm very interested in here, you're holding in your hand.
It looks like the kind of cones that you might see in an EMI chamber, sort of black pyramid-shaped kind of thing, but it's not your average black pyramid that goes in an EMI chamber.
No, no, it's quite different. At first glance, you get a lot of comments, oh, yeah, we have that, we've seen that, until you actually touch it and realize that it's a solid foam material, so it's
very stiff. It doesn't give when you press on it.
Yeah, it's very, very solid, very rigid, but extremely lightweight. And a lot of the advantages of that is that it's completely impervious to moisture, so you don't have to worry about humidity or moisture degrading the product. Also, it's very stable in that it doesn't degrade or break down, and extremely safe in that it's manufactured from its core materials to be very safe, no toxic gases, outgassing of that nature. And
you mentioned that the regular cones give you hydrogen cyanide if they get ignited.
Correct. Under flame, the traditional urethane or spongy type foams release a hydrogen cyanide gas, which can be quite dangerous.
Doesn't sound very good.
No, not something you'd want in your sealed chamber.
And I think you also mentioned this thing doesn't degrade with time. You never have to replace it.
That's correct. Once you install the material, it is basically there for as long as you want it, as long as the chamber. We've had it installed for, in many cases, 40 years, and over time, after 20 or 30 years, even after retesting the material, it performs exactly as if it were brand new, which is quite unique.
That's pretty strong. He has a little demo here where he's got a little, roughly, maybe a couple of foot square of these cones sticking up, and he puts the white cover on top of them that makes the chamber bright.
Right.
And he stood on them, and they're still there, and they're not crushed.
Right. Yeah,
which is very interesting. So, yes, anyway, I just thought it was an interesting product, given the cones I've seen in chambers. You see a chamber that's a few years old, and they're sort of drooping, and they're sort of the stuff is wearing off, and people back into them, and they break. And sounds like a good solution to that.
Yeah, quite strong. And another unique thing about the material is it's actually designed to perform at very severe angles of incident, which is how chambers are in operation. You know, you don't see normal incident. It comes in at very severe angles, and we design the material for that, so you don't lose performance from grazing angles.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you, Jim.
Well, thank you.
I hope you enjoyed the interviews. Please send any suggestions for topics or improvements to Doug at dsmith.org. And again, thank you for listening.